Blog Talk Radio.
Any Muslim that's worth a grain of salt, any Muslim that has any knowledge of his book at all, would have realized by now that the Creator establishes the Sabbath day even in the Quran. We're going to investigate this today. He told us to remember the law of his servant Moshe. But right here, we're going to deal with one law in specific, and that is the seventh-day law of the Sabbath day. According to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 8th verse, we read it again.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
To keep it holy.
6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work.
6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, thy Elohim.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates.
For in 6 days, Yah made heaven and earth.
Not 8 days, my Muslim brothers, but 6 days.
Yah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is.
The sea and all that them in them is.
And rested the seventh day.
And the Most High rested the seventh day.
Wherefore Yah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Therefore Yahweh blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Notice the language here. Notice the Creator didn't say remember 8 day and keep it holy. Then you could pick the 6 day as the Muslims do, or the first day as the Christians do. Then you'd have the choice of making your own Sabbath day. But right here, it specifically says, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And right now, most people acknowledge that Israel was given the law. Most people acknowledge that all Israelites that's worth a grain of salt should be keeping the Sabbath day. Most of the world acknowledge that. But most of the world does not acknowledge, nor do they know, that according to the Christian Bible and the Muslim book, the Quran, that both of their books establish Great Sabbath Day. And let's see what how great this day it is to our people. We go to the book of Exodus 31st chapter. Exodus the 31st chapter, and we're going to start reading at the 12th verse.
And Yah spake unto Moshe, saying,
And Yahweh spoke unto Moshe, saying,
Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep.
Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep.
For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation.
Notice, the Sabbath is a sign between Yah and the children of Israel throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. Now, we have a lot of people in these churches jumping out and hollering and screaming and acting like a chicken with their head cut off, talking about they got the Holy Ghost because they've been sanctified. You will never read in the scriptures where anyone fell down and got to hollering and screaming and jumping on the ground like a chicken with his head cut off, talking about they're sanctified. The way the Almighty sanctified his people is through the Sabbath. He said, the Sabbath will be a sign that I sanctify you. Let's read.
Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore.
Therefore ye shall keep the Sabbath.
For it is holy unto you.
It's holy. It's separate. It's consecrated.
Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death.
Everyone that defiles it, Muslim or Christian, should surely be put to death.
For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from amongst his people.
Any one that does any work therein should be cut off from amongst his people. So the children of Israel was given a commandment not to do any work on this day. The Almighty told the children of Israel that this is a sign between me and you forever throughout your generations, that I do sanctify you.
6 days may work be done.
6 days may work be done.
But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest.
In the seventh day, it is a Sabbath of rest.
Holy to Yah. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day,
whosoever does any work on the Sabbath day,
he shall surely be put to death.
He shall surely be put to death.
Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath.
Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath.
To observe the Sabbath.
To observe the Sabbath.
Throughout their generations.
Throughout their generations.
For a perpetual covenant.
For a perpetual. Everlasting covenant or agreement that was established by the Creator.
It is a sign between me and the children of
Israel. And then the Creator reiterates on the fact. He gets redundant on this point of driving in the fact that this Sabbath day, this seventh day of the week, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Forever. Do you know how long forever is?
For in 6 days Yah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
Alrighty, rested and he was refreshed because he ceased from his work. And the word cease means to stop. And when you stop something, you are resting. He wasn't resting because he was tired. The Creator lets us know that he never gets tired. He never gets tired. But he ceased from his work because it was completed. And the Christian Bible says the same thing about the Sabbath. The Quran speaks about this great Sabbath day. Why? because it is extremely important. Even when the Almighty allowed the devil to write his own books, he did not allow the devil to slander his name nor to slander his commandments. That's the reason his word can be validated even in the New Testament and even in the Quran. Nowhere in the New Testament is one told that the first day of the week, that Sunday is a sign between Yahweh and the Christians forever. Nowhere is it mentioned in the New Testament that Sunday is a day between Christ and his disciples forever. Nowhere is it mentioned that you would be blessed if you worked. It did not work on the first day of the week. Nowhere are you told that you would receive a curse if you violated the first day of the week. Nowhere was the first day of the week given to anyone as a commandment. But contrary to this, the New Testament even verifies that all of the followers of the Christ of the New Testament, whether they were Israelites or whether they were Gentiles, that all were to keep the commandments of Yahweh. And let's deal with this. Let's look in the New Testament and examine the great law that Yah gave the children of Israel from a Christian perspective. Let's see what the Christ of the New Testament says about the law of Yahweh. If we go to the book of Matthew's, the 5th chapter, I'm going to look at that for a moment. Matthew's, the 5th chapter, and we're going to read a verse that a lot of Muslims are familiar with. They're familiar that with the fact that they know that Christians are supposed to keep the law. They just didn't know that all Muslims are supposed to keep the same law that the Christians were told to keep. That's reading the Quran tells you to acknowledge the books that was before you. Now, how are you going to acknowledge them without recognizing them? And if you acknowledge them and recognize them, you're going to keep them. Let's see what it said to the Christians and those that accept the words of the Christ of the New Testament. According to Matthew 5:17,
think not that I am come to destroy the law.
In other words, in your prayers, in your meditations, in your Bible studies, in church, don't even think, don't even imagine, and don't let no lying preacher tell you that the Christ of the New Testament came to destroy the laws of Yahweh. Don't let them tell you that, because they do, according to Christ, they are lying to you. He said, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy,
but to fulfill.
But to fulfill.
For verily I say unto you.
He said, verily I say unto you.
Till heaven and earth pass.
Is heaven and earth pass, my sick Christian brothers and sisters? Has heaven and earth passed? No, you don't have to be a nuclear scientist to look out the window and see that heaven and earth has not yet passed away. So therefore, what he's saying is still binding. He said, into heaven and earth pass
one dot, or one tittle,
or one comma,
shall in no wise pass from the law.
You can't even remove a dot from the law
till all be fulfilled.
And as you look out the window, you first and you must acknowledge that all and everything has not been fulfilled. Even if you believe that the Christ of the New Testament died for your sins, and you believe that right here, he's telling you he did not. He's telling you into heaven and earth pass away. One dot or one comma shall in no wise pass from the law. So he condemns those that teach that he came to die for the sins, and now that you accept him, you don't have to keep the commandments of your fathers. He condemns that. Nowhere did the Christ of the New Testament say, I came to die for the sins of the world. Nowhere did the Christ of the New Testament says, you don't have to keep my Father's commandments no more. They're done away with because I'm going to die for them. Nowhere did he justify the wicked and corrupt teachings of these ambassadors of hell that are in your midst today, calling themselves reverends and bishops and preachers. But on the contrary, he condemned them. He condemned them. And watch how far he goes to condemn them.
Whosoever, therefore,
he said, since heaven and earth has not passed away, one dot or one comma shall in no wise pass from the law. And whosoever, meaning Bishop Young, Bishop Johnson, Reverend Brown, Reverend Black, Reverend White, Reverend Lynch, Reverend Tree, whoever it is, whosoever shall teach men to do what?
Break one of these least commandments.
And that's what you're doing, my dear beloved, sick-minded brothers. You're teaching men to break the least of these commandments. Not only are you teaching them to break the least of the commandments, telling them they don't have to shave their beards off, not telling them they don't have to keep a beard on, not to telling them not to wear fringes, but you're even a tampering with the Ten Commandments. You're telling the people they don't have to keep the Almighty Sabbath day. You're telling the people that they can worship somebody else even if they do keep the Sabbath day. And right here, he says, whosoever
therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Christ of the New Testament says about the Sabbath day. The Christ of the Sabbath further said in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, the second chapter, the 23rd to the 28th verse, that the Sabbath was made for man. Not man for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. He made you a rest day. He gave you a rest day. It was made for you. And you still don't observe it. Even the Christ in the New Testament in the book of Matthew's 24th chapter, the 20th verse, saying that when the tribulation comes on the earth, and the abomination of desolation stand in the holy ground that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he said, flee ye to the mountains and pray that your flight don't be on the Sabbath day. Now, if the Christ of the New Testament came to do away with the Sabbath day, then why in the world would he tell those that believed in them that after he died, pray that their flight don't be on the Sabbath day, if in fact it was done away with, if in fact he instituted Sunday as the day of worship? These lying preachers will tell you that you don't have to keep the Sabbath no more since Christ came. Well, if that's true, then why did all the disciples keep the Sabbath day after Christ died? Why did all the disciples and the so-called apostles keep the Sabbath day after he died? And why did the Gentiles that were seeking the word of Yah from his disciples, why did they all keep the Sabbath day? I'm going to read some things to you today that's going to be shocking. Notice what it says in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. Acts, the 13th chapter. Notice what happens. And I want all you Sunday worshipers to get a dose of this. Get a dose of what your book is really saying. Since you're telling people you're following the Christ of the New Testament, since that is what you're saying, notice what the Christ of the New Testament and those that with him did on the Sabbath day. According to Acts, the 13th chapter, would you read the 14th verse?
But when they departed from Persia, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down.
They went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You would not see them going to any church on the first day of the week to worship. That scripture is not in the New Testament. I repeat, it does not exist. It never did. The lying preachers will tell you, well, we keep Sunday, the first day of the week, because Christ rose on the first day of the week. Let me tell you something. You call your minister up and say, I want you to prove Brother Elisha a lie. He's saying it's a straight out lie. He's saying it's nowhere in the New Testament where it says that the Christ of the New Testament rose on the first day. He says, but on the contrary, all of the scriptures in the New Testament would say on the first day of the week when they went into the sepulchre to look for the Christ, he was already gone as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Tell them that they're misleading you in every direction. Tell them to straighten out Brother Elisha. Let's look at the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, and let's look at the 42nd verse, and look what it says. And the 42nd and the 43rd verse, look what take place in with the Christians, the so-called Christians, and the Gentiles, the white folks, and the Europeans that were seeking the word of Yah from this great black teacher that you call J.C. See how the Gentiles flocked to this great black nappy-head, red-eyed man they call J.C. And look how they flocked to these other disciples whom were called niggers because they were so black. Look what happened when they came to them seeking the word of Yah. Let's start reading the 42nd verse.
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue,
when the Jews went out of the synagogues,
the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
Why did the Gentiles seek that these words should be preached to them the next Sabbath? Why didn't they say, hey, we want these words taught to us in church on Sunday morning where we meet? Since Christ rose on the first day, and since all the disciples meet on the first day, because this is the new Sabbath day, why can't we have these words taught us to us on Sunday? Because the Gentiles knew at that time that all of the disciples of Christ of the New Testament kept the Sabbath day before he came, when they were with him, and after he was gone. And if they were going to learn anything, they begged the Jews to let them come into the synagogue the next Sabbath to learn the words of the Most High.
No.
Let me read that over again. I want this to sink into their heads, the 42nd and 43rd verse.
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
The Gentiles besought. They were begging that these words be taught to them the next Sabbath. Look in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. A lot of them said, well, I don't follow Christ. I don't follow John, and I don't follow Simon, and I don't follow James. I follow Paul. Well, did you know that the only day that Paul taught was on the Sabbath day? According to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, the second verse, it reads,
and Paul, as his manner, was went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures.
Three Sabbath days. How many first days? How many Sundays did he reason? None. None. Those that wanted the reasoning and the teachings of Paul came every Sabbath day. Not only that, but get a dose of this. According to Acts, the 18th chapter, the Almighty is going to destroy these lies with a preponderance of scriptural evidence that's enough to wake up a blind man. And I know many of our brothers are spiritually blind, but look what Paul did every Sabbath day, and look what the Greeks and Gentiles did, according to Acts, the 18th chapter, the 4th verse.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath.
And they reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Read that again. They didn't get that.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath.
Every Sabbath. How many Sabbaths?
Every Sabbath.
And how many Sundays?
None.
How many first days? None. Do you get that? So right here is pointing out that all the Christians are being misled. Now, what about the Quran? I made a statement a few moments ago that any Muslim that's worth a grain of salt would know that they all supposed to be acknowledging and keeping the Sabbath day according to the Quran. I don't even want to show you the hadiths, since many of y'all say, well, I don't go by that. Well, most of you go by that, but for my listeners here in Cincinnati, I'm going to deal particularly and strictly with the Quran today, according to the Quran. Surah 2. Let's go to Surah 2, and let's read the 65th verse, or the 56th ayat.
And certainly, you have known those amongst you who exceeded the limits of the Sabbath. So we said to them, be apes despised and hated.
Now, notice, that's what the Quran said. Now, let me show you what, let me quote Yusuf Ali. Yusuf Ali's version says, and well ye know those amongst you who transgress in the matter of the Sabbath. They broke the Sabbath. And we said to them, be ye apes, despised and rejected. They were cursed and made animals. They were cursed and made into apes because they broke the Sabbath day. My. Never have I read in the Quran where the deity of the Quran was so furious, so upset to take one of his own creations and turn him into an ape and say, you are from now on, you're going to be despised and rejected because you broke the Sabbath day. Well, that's what Yusuf Ali said. Now, notice what the Pikal said, Quran. And ye know of those of you who broke the Sabbath, and how we said unto them, be ye apes. Also, we're going to look at something else. Since some of y'all say you don't agree with that. Some of you are going to call your own deity a lie right here. Well, let's look somewhere else. Let's look at Surah 4. If that's not enough, let's look at Surah 4, Ayat 47. Let's see what that says.
O you who have been given the book.
And he's talking about you black Israelites, you black Christians that are calling yourself, you black Israelites that are calling yourself Christians. He's talking about you black Israelites now that's calling yourself Muslims. He said, O you who were given the book, and that's us, believe in that which we have revealed, verifying what you have. Did you see that? Verifying what you have. Before we alter faces and turn them on their backs or curse them as we curse the violators of the Sabbath. And the command of the deity shall be executed. According to this, anybody that breaks the Sabbath was to be cursed. And I'm looking for somewhere that condemns the Sabbath, so I can be ready for them to show them that the Quran is a book that condemned the Sabbath. Then I looked in Surah 4, 154. And lo and behold, what this said.
And we lifted the mountain over them And we said to them, enter the door making obeisance. And we said to them, do not exceed the limits of the Sabbath.
Do not exceed the limits of the Sabbath.
And we made with them a firm covenant.
And we made with them a firm, you know what that is? A firm covenant. A firm total agreement. Everlasting, that's never to be broken. A firm covenant. And we made with them a firm covenant. Did you understand that a firm covenant was made according to the Quran with our people that they were never to break the Sabbath day? Now you think that's something? Wait until you read this. Go to Surah 7. Ayat 163.
And ask them about the town which stood by the sea.
Ask them about the town which stood by the sea.
When they exceeded the limits of the Sabbath.
They did things on the Sabbath day that should not be done. They were fishing on the Sabbath day. They should have fished the fifth day of the week, the day that many Muslims take off. That's the day they should have been fishing. Or they should have been fishing on Sunday, the day the Christians call itself worshiping, but not on the Sabbath day. And the Quran, according to the deity, it says they exceeded the limits of the Sabbath day.
When their fish came to them on the day of their Sabbath, appearing on the surface of the water, and on the day of which they did not keep the Sabbath, they did not come to them. Thus did we try them because they transgressed.
In other words, we tried them and see if they're going to try to fish. They seen the fish just jumping out the water almost in their hand. We're going to see if they're going to be strong or they're going to grab these fish on the Sabbath day. And they decided to break the law and grab these fish. And we judged them according to the limits of the Sabbath. And you, if you want to know the limits of the Sabbath, then you must go to them that was given the book. Because we were the only one that was explained in detail what could and could not be done on the Sabbath day. So you have to go to them. Now, notice the last thing the Quran writes on the Sabbath day is in Surah 16, Ayat 124. I want all of y'all to turn to that and look at that and study it. Because a lot of you all in this position, you say, hey, he changed. Well, the deity said he does not change. Over here, he went against it. No, I want you to read firmly and see if he's establishing what has already been said, or is this a spot where he's contradicting it? And if you read it with an open mind, objectively, with honesty, you will see that he's establishing everything else he has already said about the Sabbath day. Let's read.
The Sabbath was ordained only for those who differed about it.
Well, we see that as somehow a contradiction. We even have to admit today that even though the Quran is establishing the Sabbath, that first part is a contradiction. Now, how in the world can the Sabbath be ordained only for those who differed about it? Well, if it didn't exist, you couldn't differ from something that did not exist. So how can you say the Sabbath was ordained only against those who differ against that? In other words, what it is saying is the Sabbath day was ordained to be a day of rest. And it will condemn anybody that differs against what it is saying. Therefore, it said the Sabbath was ordained only against those who differed about it. And surely thy Lord would judge between those on the day of resurrection concerning that wherein they differed. In other words, they differed because some of them believed that they had to keep it, and some of them believed that they didn't, like many of our Muslim brothers believe that they didn't. But they can't show me one word in the Quran that they don't supposed to keep the Quran, that they don't supposed to keep the Sabbath. They can't show me a word in the Quran where they don't supposed to keep the laws of Yah. They can't show me a word in the Quran where it condemned the Sabbath day. It only condemned those that different in how it is to be kept. Because according to the Quran, just as the New Testament does, the Quran confirms the words of the Most High inasmuch as it tells those that they have to keep the Sabbath day. They're still told that they have to keep the Sabbath day, and the Quran teaches those that regard the Quran as a book of understanding that they have to keep the law of Yah. Let's look in Surah 2. Let's look in Surah 2. Ayat 41 to 43. And notice what it says to those. See, most Muslims don't know that all through the Quran, it established the Torah. It established the laws that were given to Moses. It was established the book that was given to the children of Israel. I can't say most. Because now we're getting some very wise Muslim brothers and sisters in Cincinnati, and they're beginning to learn the truth. But there's a few diehards that are fighting the words of the Most High, and they refuse to accept the fact that their book actually condones and verifies the Holy Scriptures. Here, look at Ayat 41 and 43 of the second surah.
And believe in that which I have revealed.
Notice what he said. Believe in that which I have revealed.
Verifying that which is with you.
Verifying. He's talking to the children of Israel. He's telling them to believe in what we have revealed that verifies that which is with you. Letting you know that there are many Qurans that have been on the earth. But the first Quran that Muhammad was going by, he and those that followed him, was the Quran that validated the laws. Though that Quran validated the laws, and that's why it was destroyed, because they didn't want you to follow the example of the Israelites. Those men of the jealous-minded Muslims wanted to be separate. So any verses that they found that taught them to regard and come to us, many of those things were destroyed. But I'm going to show you that Muhammad himself kept the law. He and those that with him have marks on their face from the prostration they made on the ground that were signs of them worshiping and serving and reading the Torah, not the Quran. Because there wasn't no Quran in those days. All the righteousness that he found was in the Torah. That's what Muhammad went by. The Quran wasn't even finished until after he died. Hello? But right now, we're not able to comment on everything. We got to stop for a news break. But I want to tell each and every one of my loving brothers to call in. Area code 513-749-1230. And I know many of my Muslim brothers and sisters say, I don't know what I'm talking about. And call in so we can ask you some questions so you can straighten this out. So you can let the public know what the book is really saying in these places. We need your help. So please call in. We need the Christians to call in. Because Yah has loved you so much that he put us here today to do something that nobody has done before. And that's to teach the Christians the truth about their book and the Muslims the truth about their book and let them know that if they regard their books, they're going to still come back home to Yahweh. Hallelujah.
The Buzz of Cincinnati, your talk station.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Morelli Shizvel, bringing you truth or tradition. Today we're dealing again with another very, very serious issue. And that is why the black man is in the dilemma that he's in. And we will show you why he's in that dilemma. According to the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, I want you to go to Jeremiah 16 chapter. Because the Creator mentioned that it will come to pass when we show all of our people why all of this great evil is coming upon them. Why are they the last hired and the first fired? Why are they the lenders and not the borrowers? Why are they the borrowers and not the lenders? Why are they the head, the tail, and not the head? Why do they have to go to their enemies for everything they need? Why don't they have a country or name of their own? We was going to mention these things to our people. And our people were always going to ask us the question, since we're the chosen people, since we are the real Israelites, then why did the Almighty bring all this evil upon us? Question the Creator said would come to pass. According to the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, the 10th verse.
And it shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
When thou shalt show this people all these words.
All his words as we're doing this day.
And they shall say unto thee, wherefore have Yah pronounced all this great evil against us?
Why has he pronounced all this great evil against us? Of what is our iniquity? Of what is our sin that we have committed against Yahweh, our Elohim? What did we do?
Then shall thou say unto them.
Then shall you answer them.
Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yah, and have walked after other deities, and served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me.
Notice what the Creator said. Then thou shalt say unto them, as Brother Elisha is saying today, because your fathers have forsaken me, said Yahweh, and have walked after other deities, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and all the rest of these religions that our people have known, and they have not served the true and living Elohim and worshiped Yahweh, Yahweh said,
and have served them and worshiped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart.
Everyone is walking today after what's right in his own eyes. Everybody wants his own religion, and they will tell me, brother, quit being criticizing my religion. I'm entitled to my own religion, and don't criticize it. Well, the reason you're saying that, because you can't defend it. And you can't defend it, and that's the reason we criticize it, because we love you, and we want you to be joined again in a holy covenant with the Creator. And we can't get this done if we don't point out to our brothers and sisters the folly of their actions. If we don't love you enough to make you hate us, we really don't love you. And if a person that's teaching the word of Yahweh, if he doesn't love you enough to jeopardize you hating them, that man don't love you enough. And we love you enough to jeopardize losing our friendship, jeopardizing our feelings with you in order to have you back into a warm relationship with the Almighty, because we all wish to go back home, and America is not our home. This is not our land of milk and honey. This is the land of our punishment, and the Almighty is going to show you that before we leave, that you were sent here to be punished and afflicted. Parents knew it, and you're going to know it in the days to come. Right now, I want to go to our listening board, because I left off bringing to our Christian brothers the fact that their New Testament actually validates the Sabbath day. But the Torah nowhere validates Sunday. The Torah does nowhere validate the first day or Sunday. But the Quran and all the teachers in the Quran went only by the Sabbath day. It said that Paul taught every Sabbath day. You know how what it means, every, according to Acts 18 and 4? That meant wasn't a single Sabbath day passed in his life that he didn't teach on the Sabbath. Nowhere is it mentioned that Paul taught every weekend, that Paul taught every first day. Matter of fact, it's not written nowhere where Paul ever taught the word of Yah to anybody on a Sunday, period. It's not mentioned whether Christ of the New Testament ever taught the words of the Most High to anybody on Sunday, period. It's not mentioned where any of the teachers or apostles or disciples of the New Testament ever taught anyone, period, on the first day or the day you regard as Sunday to anyone. So you see how grossly misled you have been. And you see why all of your pastors run from me and they refuse to have a discourse with me, even though now I'm getting into my latter years. They've been running from me ever since I was a young boy at 19. They've been running until I'm 63, and they're going to keep running if the Almighty allows me to be 83. All these young whippersnappers are going to still keep running from me because they know that they are all just modern young Uncle Toms, all modern ambassadors of hell that's misleading our people for a reward. And the teachers of the Quran are no better. They're just as bad because they see in their book it clearly and plainly brings out the fact that they must acknowledge the first book. They must acknowledge the teachers of the book. They must acknowledge the laws of the book. And it mentioned all through the Quran where people were punished for breaking the Sabbath day. Nowhere will you see anybody being punished for breaking Friday. Nowhere will you see in the Quran where anybody were ever turned into an animal because he didn't observe Friday. Nowhere was a law given that you must observe Friday. The only day that's mentioned in the Quran as a Sabbath day is the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week. And right now, I'm finna go to some of our brothers and sisters that's been calling in, and then I'm going to go to some other scriptures in the New Testament that will let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Muhammad taught that you must observe the laws in the Torah. I'm going to show you this today. But right now we're going to go to some of our beautiful brothers and sisters from around the world. And I asked my brothers and sisters all from Georgia, all from Carolina, all from everywhere to call in and talk to us regarding this conversation. Right now we're going to Radcliffe, Kentucky, to a brother there by the name of Yaakov. Shalom.
Shalom, Brother Alicia.
Shalom.
Hello? Hello, Brother Alicia?
Yes, hello. Shalom.
Hi, shalom. I'm just listening. I haven't been able to get it over the air or across my computer. I'm just listening.
All right. We want you to listen, and we're going to keep you on the line so you can listen, but do you want to comment on what you're hearing?
No, sir. What you're saying is absolutely correct. There's no comment needed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Well, stay on. We're going to keep you on. And now we're going to go to, Brother Michael Riley, right here in Cincinnati, my beloved Brother Michael. Yes, sir.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
You know, it's really strange that we call ourselves people who are educated, really trained, to serve our master.
Yes, yes.
But we don't read, we don't study, but still we consider ourselves intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
A good example is, like I've always said, if, and anybody who's intelligent know that Constantine was the one who changed the day, the Sabbath day.
Absolutely. That was he and his doing. And all these so-called doctors and lawyers and school teachers that listen to the thing, that go to church with their family every Sunday calling themselves worshiping, all they have to do is find out that Sunday, the first day of the week, was set up by Constantine. And he's the one that called it Sunday because he named it after the sun god that he formerly worshipped before he became a Christian.
That's right, and he put all his pagan customs in there.
Yes, he did.
Up in town, they say the man called Jesus, that he had a fish as a sign of Christianity. Constantine put the cross.
Oh, boy. That's right. Constantine was the one that brought in the cross. I'm glad that you brought that, and that was a sign of the Christian crusaders, the cross.
Right. And you know, you always know people talk about the Crusades. Nobody really talks about the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
And they would talk about how vicious, how wicked the Christians were.
Mm-hmm.
But they're supposed to, you know, forgive thy neighbor. Oh, that's a joke. Because when they invaded, like they're doing today, which is really called Africa, but they say the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
one of the big problems was to scare the Arabs or the black people. And Saladin was a black man from Saudi Arabia. One of the things they did in Jerusalem, they practiced cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
They ate the Arabs. And when we understand that, we understand why today, why they are hated so much. Christians are hated in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we understand that
they were eating Indians over in America too.
Right, right. They're cannibals.
That's where they got Thanksgiving at. And after that, they was eating Indians to keep from starving to death. The
right.
Indians made them survive and helping them to live and doing those durable winters that they were over here. And what did they get as a repayment?
Right. And when once they didn't kill by disease, they sold the rest of them into slavery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We understand that this cannibalism, we still practice these wicked things with communion.
Yes.
We drink the blood and eat the flesh and all this. And this was never part. You'll never hear any person in the Bible talk about cannibalism.
No.
But we also know that is part of the Christian faith. They practice every Sunday.
Yeah, they symbolize the eating of flesh many churches every Sunday, and some of them do it once a month.
They call it
the Lord's Supper. And then they in turn said, what is this? I'm eating the Lord. When they say the Lord's Supper, that's what they mean. This is the Lord's Supper. They're really, he's the diet.
Right. And the Catholic Church, everything they have, anytime they have anything, from funerals, weddings, graduations, they always practice communion.
Yes.
That makes them better, you know, I guess, to their God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we are people don't understand because we don't want to understand. We're afraid to accept the truth.
Yes, yes.
Because all you got to do is ask these children to eat ministers.
No.
Where did Sunday come from?
Yes.
If they don't know, get your book on the Conference of Nicaea.
Yes.
Of Constantine. And
some of them got doctor's degrees. Call themselves, I'm Dr. Martin Luther King. I have a doctor's degree. I see you at church on Sunday. Well, if you did all that studying, then how can you come to the church on a Sunday?
That's right.
Hello?
And like I said, get the book, take it to your preacher. Take it to that man and tell him, explain this. They can't. They want you to believe. You're questioning God. No, I'm questioning what you're teaching here. So God ain't said nothing about this mess. But see, that's what we're so afraid to accept, you know, the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't go along with the tradition of this pagan system that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Just like accepting a virgin birth. That is totally the most ludicrous thing that ever happened on this planet.
Oh, my gracious. Don't even want to get into talking about that today. It's so far-fetched, that lie they've been teaching. But we're going to get into it in the future.
Right. And like I say, and these are things that we understand. They talk about the Ten Commandments. Christian preachers don't do nothing with the Ten Commandments. That's a joke they talk about. Because if, when they say respect the Sabbath, it is not Sunday.
All right.
We got to be aware of that. Tell your preachers. Show them the truth.
Okay.
And if you still teach that lie, get rid of it.
All right, brother.
Okay.
I appreciate your calling. Amazing. Yah's love stay with you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Right now, we're going right here to Cincinnati, again, out in the Westwood area, to Sister Jackie. Sister Jackie.
Shalom, Brother Israel.
Shalom.
To Yah be the glory.
Yah's the glory.
You know, I was living in Michigan when I first heard about the Sabbath. I was like 21 years old. And at that time, I'd been in a holiness church before I had heard about the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to the church I had belonged to,
mm-hmm.
and I asked the preacher about the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
he told me every day was the Sabbath.
Yeah, that's a lie there, Dale. And I asked one of them, well, where in the New Testament, where in the Bible does it say every day is the Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it say keep every day holy? So that's what they're going to run to. Well, yeah, I don't keep the Sabbath because I keep every day holy. Well, where did Christ say keep every day holy? If every day was kept holy, then why wasn't Paul teaching every day in the synagogues? Why wasn't he teaching to the Greeks every day? And why didn't Christ in the New Testament say, pray that your flight don't be on the Sabbath day?
On the Sabbath day, that's right. And you know, I talk to people now, they still would say, well, now, Sunday is the Sabbath day. I'm like, well, you know, you ask me, well, what's the first day of the week? And they're going to steal, they'll go back to Sunday, but they'll say, well, that's the Sabbath.
No, that's pitiful. And these are educated people. No wonder the Creator said our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
That's right.
He said our people rejected knowledge. You got people with college degrees that reject knowledge, rejecting what we say because it's contrary to what their church says.
Right.
Most Christians don't follow the Most High. They follow their church and the doctrine of their church. They ignore the Scriptures. They ignore the Most High. They even ignore the words of their Christ. If Christ says something different, if the Christ in the New Testament says something different than their pastor, they're going to go with their pastor. That's reading Isaiah 9 and 6 says, the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are destroyed, they that are led of them are destroyed.
Right. Okay.
All right,
okay,
Sister
Jackie. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All right, right now we're going to Cincinnati again to our brother Malik. Brother Malik.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, fine, Malik. How
I
you
see
doing?
You at your old tricks again.
No tricks, baby. It's a real deal.
Oh, no. Well, I want to.
What's those old tricks? Tell us.
I
want to tell me what that
the
is.
Listening audience.
Well, tell me what the old tricks
first
is.
First, I want to call in for.
Go ahead.
I want the listening audience to get their Bibles out. Read Lamentations chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And need to read it over and over and over until you comprehend. And you will see that the God of the Bible done away with the law. And
whoa.
this is what the Christians don't know. All you have to do is read it.
Oh, the Christians don't know, and I guess the Muslims they don't know this either. Huh?
Only ones that know this is ones who read.
Oh,
Allah said
right.
Read.
No, that's good. We're glad that you took
the
a
listening
stand.
Audience is gonna read
all right.
this Alicia.
They're gonna read this.
All you
right.
can say all you want
let
to say,
me, let me read
but they're gonna
it,
read
then. Let
okay,
me
read
it. That's Lamentations, what chapter?
Two.
Two and what verse?
Verses 1 through 9.
1 through 9. We're going to read it for you. Thank you. And we're going to examine everything. Thank you.
Okay.
Book of Lamentations, the second chapter, verse 1 through 9. Let's read.
How hath Yah covered the daughter of Zion with
it said, how has Yahweh covered the daughters of Zion with a cloud in his anger? In his anger because we were serving strange gods, Malik. That's why he was angry because we is committing the same thing that you're doing today, and that is the greatest sin on earth. It's called idolatry, and that's worshiping anyone but the Creator and going by another book other than his holy words that he told our people to acknowledge. And that's why he's angry. I just wanted to get that in. How hath the Yahweh covered the daughters of Zion with a cloud in his anger and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. Yes, that all happened in the day of his anger. But the day of his anger has passed for those that turned back to him, Malik, which I will show you. But But yes, these things did occur in the day of his anger. Let's keep reading.
Yah have swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob.
Yes, he has.
And have not pitied.
And showed no pity.
He have thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughters of Yehuda.
Yes, he has.
He have brought them down to the ground.
Yes, he has brought them down to the ground. He has polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof.
He had cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel.
All the government of Israel, the Most High, destroyed in his fierce anger. He has drawn down, he has thrown back his right hand from before the enemies. In other words, he moved the hand of that divine protection and allowed our enemies to come in and start devouring our people, as is prophesied all through the scriptures.
And he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire, which devoureth round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary.
Yes, he stood as an adversary against our people in the day.
And slew all that were pleasant to the eye.
And he slew all that were pleasant to the eye.
In the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion, he poured out his fury like fire. Yah was an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel.
Yes, that's why you're calling your name Malik today, my brother. That's when you don't know who you are and nowhere. And I asked you several times to show me where the deity in the Quran told you to change your name to Malik. And you admitted to me that it does not say that. You did it because you wanted to change your name from a slave master's name to another slave master's name. And yes, the white man was a slave master, but when you change your name to the Arabic's name, they were slave masters too. Just because a man is an Arabic don't mean that he feared the Most High. The Arabics are slaughtering our people every day in Arabic and in Africa under the banner of Islam, because they know how the Islam talks about a black man. And that the people on the day of judgment that have black faces would be sent to hell. They know that. So they don't think they're defending the deity when they enslave our people. They don't think that at all, because the Quran, they in the Hadith, they see Muhammad with his slaves. They don't see themselves doing nothing bad to you. That's when they treat you like you do. They do when you go to their stores here in Cincinnati and elsewhere, my brother. Well, let's keep reading.
He have swallowed up all her palaces. He have destroyed his strongholds. And he have increased in the daughter of Yehuda mourning and lamentation.
Yes, he's increased mourning and lamentations in Israel.
And he have violently taken away his tabernacle.
No, we don't have a temple no more. The temple was destroyed because of our disobedience. We're in the land of our enemies today. And he destroyed our tabernacle as if it was a garden. Just plucked it up.
He have destroyed his places of the assembly.
Yes.
Yah have caused the solemn feasts and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion.
Yes, he caused them to be forgotten in Zion. And he has despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. That's when we don't have a king and priest no more. That's when we don't have a kingdom no more. That's when we don't have no tabernacle no more. But Malik, did you know that the Creator says, return unto him, and he will return unto us? Let me show you what the Most High said to us, Malik, while you're looking at selective scriptures. Let's come line upon line. Let us look at Yah, his word, in the volume of the book. And we go to the book of Malachi. Let's go to the book of Malachi. Let's see what the Most High said to our people in the book of Malachi, the third chapter. We're going to start reading at the sixth verse.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am Yah, I change not.
Almighty said, I am Yahweh, Malik. He said, I change not. The wind changed, the season changed, you and I change, but he never changes.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
You're not consumed. You're still living today. You still have a chance to turn to me, because my anger does not last forever, but my mercy does. He says, read that again.
For I am Yah, I change not.
I change not.
Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
That's reading, you're still living today. Your sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Even from the days of your fathers.
He's talking about even in the days of the book when Lamentation was written. Even from the days of your fathers have ye went away from my ordinances and have not kept them. But
return unto me.
He said all we have to do, yeah, Malik, is return. And you don't return by teaching people not to keep the law. You don't return by teaching people not to keep the Sabbath. That's reading according to your book, you were made into an ape. That's reading our, many of our people, you think like an ape today. Because you have to think like an ape to think that these laws are done away with. These laws are not. Your book turned people into apes that kept, that broke the Sabbath day. Why didn't your book say the Sabbath was going to be done away with in the future? Why didn't your book say that Israel don't have to keep the laws that Yah gave him? Why didn't your book say that the Israel always abide under the law? Why did your book say that, sir? All right, we're going to go to other people, but I want you to read more than selected verses, Malik. The Creator said, I come in the volume of the book. Lo, it is written of me. We're going to Sister Marion out of Cincinnati. Sister Marion. Sister Marion?
Hello.
Hello?
Oh. How are you, Murray?
Is this my beautiful?
Yes.
Yes. Mother Marion, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine now. I just missed class this morning and sitting in all day. Now, if the people would read Isaiah, the 58th chapter,
okay,
13 and 14 verse.
All right, Mother Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Marion, we're going to read that for you, and I'm glad the Almighty sent you here to bring that
mm-hmm.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
The 58th chapter of Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
the 13th and 14th verse, and notice what it says.
Mm-hmm.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of Yah hath spoken it.
The mouth of Yah.
Yah spoken.
He spoke that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Creator told us. Not the mouth of one of our misled brothers, but
mm-hmm.
the mouth of Yah had said this.
Mm-hmm. And the two is if you...
And this is what I want my other beloved brother, Malik, to understand by the scripture he showed us in the book of Lamentation
mm-hmm.
that he wants people to read. I also want him and others to look in the book of Hosea. But I want to comment on that. Did you want to say something else, Mark?
I just want to say that if they get out on the Sabbath day and go to the assembly, and that is rest, it's peaceful. And it's rest. And then when you go home, you feel like you've been somewhere with Yah.
Oh, hallelujah.
So thank you, Murray. And I love you.
I love you,
and
too.
And Yah bless.
Yah bless you.
Thank you.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom,
shalom.
Shalom. Right now, we're going to read this verse. Thank you, Mother. We're going to read Hosea, the 6th chapter. And we want to show you what the Almighty said he's going to do with our people and how he became our enemy. And he was a lion unto us. He said in Hosea, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verse, he says,
wow.
Notice in Hebrew, we didn't have no chapters. So we're going to just read on what they call the 6th chapter to that next verse because it all goes together. But the 14th verse says, for I will be unto Ephraim as a lion. That's what he said.
And as a young lion to the house of Yehuda.
And he's going to be like a young lion. And you know what a lion does to a person? It tears them to pieces. And Yah acknowledged that he's going to be a lion to us because we rejected him and are now serving Islam and Christianity.
I will tear and go away. I will take away and none shall rescue him.
Nobody be able to rescue after the Almighty tears to pieces.
I will go and return to my place.
But the Creator said after a while, after the day of his anger is over, that he will go and return unto his place till they acknowledge their offense. And that's what we're doing. We at the house of Israel are acknowledging that we went astray, that we broke the law. And you caused the law and the Sabbath to be forgotten to us until we started praying to you and seeking your face and returning to you. And now we acknowledge that our foreparents and our people have sinned against you even until this day. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge our transgressions. We acknowledge this. The Creator said he will go and return to his place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. So, brother, you're going to seek the Almighty. You're going to find out one day just being with a Quran in your hand and call your name Malik is not going to help you when the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bring this wrath upon you. You are going to seek the Almighty in his affliction. In that day of affliction, you are going to seek him early. And notice what the Creator says. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he is torn and he will heal us. He is smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up.
And we shall live in his sight.
Hallelujah. Let me go to my other brothers. My line is filled, and we got plenty of brothers to talk to. Right now, I want to go to my lovely sister in the west side, Sister Sarah, on the west side. Sister Sarah, how are you?
I am fine, Alicia. I have a comment and a question. You're challenging Malik and asking Malik all these questions and making all these comments about him, but you cut him off and don't give him a chance to respond. And I want to know why. Why would you cut him off?
Well,
and then
I generally talk to Malik longer than I do any of my brothers. Him and Michael Riley, I generally talk to them longer since I've been on Sabbath nights than I do anybody. But he asked me to read. He wanted everybody to remember this verse, and he told everybody to read it. So I just, please, you asked me a question. So I decided, please, my beloved sister.
Okay.
And then I decided to go ahead and read all these 9 verses and comment on them, and I thought I would explain a few things. And I have other people to talk to than Malik, but I dealt a great time on the scriptures that he gave me. All 9 verses, we dealt with those scriptures and what the book of Lamentations. But I thought since he asked me a question, I would explain it. And I found out that he can receive things better when he's listening and not try to talk while I'm trying to show him something. And I knew I'd have a great a difficulty in trying to explain something while he's on the line because he has a tendency to talk while I'm trying to talk. So I had to cut him off while I read all these verses and explain them. And since I dealt in a verse that he wanted to, then I felt it was necessary to go to someone else. When somebody asks me to read a long time, I'm not going to come back and keep talking with them after they bring this out. But,
but you didn't finish reading it because
let me finish reading the part
where it says that the law is no more.
All right,
you conveniently left that out.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read that again. And then I'll get Malik back on the line so he can comment on it. How about that?
Okay, that'll
be fine. You like that?
I would love that.
All right, we're going to do that for you, sister. We're going to go. All right, thank you. You mind if I hang you up now?
I certainly don't.
All right, thank you. Right now, we're going to go back because it was brought to my attention that when we were reading the book of Lamentations, we were supposed to read the first to the 9th verse. And I think we read 1 to maybe 7, but we're going to read all of it so we can make sure that we cover what our beloved brother wants us to talk about. In the second chapter, we start at verse 1, and where do we stop? We stop verse 6. So we want to read 7, 8, and 9. Let's keep reading. We left off on 6. Go to verse 7.
Yah have cast off his altar.
Cast off the altar. That's reading we don't have a temple today.
He have abhorred his sanctuary.
And that's reading we don't have a temple, as I mentioned. We don't have an altar where the temple is, and we don't have a temple because the scriptures let us know through the word of the Most High that all through the scriptures that we don't have this because of our disobedience, and we won't get these things again until we get home.
He have given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces.
And that's reading today in Jerusalem, in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel, you got enemies, you got our enemies, you got other people in our palaces, you got other people in our homes, you got other people in the places where we live calling themselves Israelites. As the Most High, he has did what? He has given up into the hands of the enemies the walls of her palaces, and they have made a noise in the house of Yah as in the day of a solemn feast. This is what our enemies doing. So the Creed here is letting you know that the people that now occupy our palaces and our the holy places are not the genuine article. He's letting us know in this particular verse that the people that are now in there are the wrong people. They are not the people of Israel that's possessing the land of Israel today. He lets us know that through that verse.
Yah have proposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion.
Yah has proposed in his heart to destroy the walls of the daughters of Zion.
He has stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying.
He has stretched out his hand. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying it. Therefore, he has made the rampart and the walls to lament, and they language together.
Her gates are sunk into the ground.
Talking about the walls and gates of Jerusalem, her gates are sunk into the ground.
He hath destroyed and broken her bars.
He has destroyed and broken her bars. No defense.
Her king and her princesses are amongst the Gentiles.
Right here, he lets you know that the true kings and the true princesses of the holy nation of Israel are now amongst the Gentiles as servants, as handmaids, as people to be afflicted because of our disobedience.
The law is no more.
The law is no more.
Her prophets also find no vision from Yah.
The prophets of Israel find no vision from Yah today because of our disobedience to the Most High. And yes, when he destroyed our people and chased them out, we were not allowed and able to keep the law in Jerusalem no more. There was no more sacrifices. There was no more temple. All these sacrifices, all the oblations, all of the daily offerings, they cease. Our ability to judge our people cease. We're not able to judge one another no more in the manners of death. If we see a man committing adultery, we can only talk to him. We can't go and have him stoned to death. We're living in the midst of a heathen that everybody's committing adultery. Everybody's living in sin. From the White House on down, the whole place is full of iniquity. Most states don't even have laws against adultery in this land. The whole land is sick from the head to the tail. So I know, no, we're not able to say, well, he broke the law. He's supposed to go. We can't do that. Our job now is to live by the law. But we're not in a position to enforce the law. We can't do that. So all the principles of the law we keep. But we're not able to judge a man and say, because you broke the law, you're going to be stoned to death. Because you slept with this man's wife, you're going to be stoned to death. Because you didn't bring this, we can't do that. We're not in that position. But we are obligated to still keep the law of the Most High. We're obligated to keep all his commandments, whether we're in this land or out of it, still must do that. Now, brother, I'm going to talk to you 1 minute, but my line is totally full, but I promise to call Malik back in to let him comment on the fact that the law is no more. Brother Malik?
Yes.
Wait a minute, sir. I've read everything you asked me to read.
Wait a minute.
Wait, stop it now. You got to stop and be act nice.
Okay.
I've read everything you asked me to read.
Mm-hmm.
I commented on it, and you gave it to the people so that they can read. So
mm-hmm.
if the law is no more, then it's okay for us to eat pig, right?
According to your scripture.
How about your book? How about your book?
According
your
to your
book,
scripture.
Wait. Are you going to let me speak? Stop it now, Malik. I'm asking
you. Are you going to let me speak?
Yes, but you
scared?
Said I can ask you some questions now, Malik.
But let
I
me
got
respond.
To,
can I respond
no.
to anything?
But
can we talk
me,
together?
That's right. That's right. I'm asking you a question, and you're not answering me. According to the Quran, is the law done away with? Can we eat pig today? And can we sleep with married women today, Malik? The law is no more, you said.
The law is no more. According
right.
to your own
oh,
scripture, you are allowed to commit adultery.
Oh, so and your book validates my scripture.
Not your book.
Yes, your book, the Quran.
You're making my point.
Stop it. Your book validates the Torah. And we're going to read that. I didn't get a chance to get into all the verses, but I just wanted the listening audience to hear you say that you don't have to keep the law and that a man that goes by the Torah can commit adultery and eat pig. I wanted you to say that because I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about it when we got a little time. But right now I got to go to other brothers and sisters that's on the line because you got some other brothers and sisters that's trying to call in. And I want you, I got Brother Levi here and Sister Rashida and Brother Too Sweet, so we want to talk to all of y'all. And then I got some other brothers that's calling, and we have to talk to them too. Sister Rashida. Sister Rashida. Sister Rashida.
Yo, how you doing?
Yes, fine.
You know, I
turn down your radio. I'm getting too big of a backlash. Yes.
I wanted to ask you about, you know, the laws.
Okay.
If you...
turn down your radio just a little bit, please.
Hold on.
Or go in another one, please.
If we are going to implement the laws, as you just said, we can't do all the laws.
Now, I didn't say we can't do them. I said there are certain there are punishments that are associated with the law that we're not allowed to execute today.
Mm-hmm.
I can't come to America and then stone a man to death because I see him committing adultery with another man's wife. But in my land, I could because the law justified us trying people by the law. See, the law had two aspects. One aspect of the law you have to keep. The other aspect of the law that if you broke, according to the law, certain things would be binding on you. Now, the things that we could do to other people, we're not able to do that today because we're not in a position of rulers.
Okay.
We're here to be servants, so I can't go and put no man in jail for breaking my law, breaking the law of the Most High. If a man commit adultery today, he can't even go to court in this land.
Look, can I give you an example?
Yes, you can.
What about the people that work for the utility companies or the waterworks? Now, would you agree that in this day and time, you know, we have progressed, no matter what land we go into, we go to Israel, they have electricity, women are having babies, hospitals need electric. How can you implement that law?
Well, it's easy. First of all, it's not working. Let me comment. According to the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter, and while I'm ready to turn down your radio just a little bit more.
Okay, hold on. I'll
all
tell
right.
you all one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to need your help.
Now, dealing with the law, according to the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter, notice what it says in the 13th verse. It says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Speak also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that ye may know that I am Yah that does sanctify you. That shall he sanctify us. Now, I'm in America, and when I turn on water to get some water, somebody's working in a water plant, and I realize that. When I turn on my lights to get electric, somebody is working in an electric plant, and I realize that. But these people are doing it against the law of the Almighty, but they're not bound under it as I am. The Almighty said, this year should be unto you the beginning of years. The Creator said, I've given you the Sabbath. We can't do what other people do. And while we're in the land of our enemies, we accept some of the punishments that they heal upon us. But then some of the benefits that they got in this land that their people do, we accept them also. But we are not allowed to deal in these jobs and have these types of occupation, whereas I got to go to the waterworks on the Sabbath day, I have to go to the hospital on the Sabbath day, I got to go to the Lagasse and Lekrit on the Sabbath day. Even though we enjoy the benefits, we are the people that the Almighty made it a sign between. Well, when those people at the waterworks will always say, well, this brother was fired because he wouldn't work on the Sabbath day. This brother would not, he could have had this job, but he won't work on the Sabbath day. The Almighty still have people that fear him and keep his commandments, even in the midst of this chaos that you see today, and he judges us according to our ability to serve him. And we have that ability today. We have that ability today. Now, if a man was locked up in a cell, of course, he couldn't have a holy convocation with others. If a man got a whip and somebody whipping him all day on the cotton field, well, he couldn't rest. But he's not working on his own volition. He's working because he's being forced to. But now we're not forced to.
Okay.
Okay?
Let's say, for instance, if you were in Israel.
All right, don't answer this, and I got the go call. I got a line for it. But go ahead, make your point.
Okay, so how would that work then? You know,
well,
people
well,
going to have babies.
If we were in the
Israel,
land.
It doesn't
of,
matter where you go, people are going to need 911 services. You know, if no one can work, and it said in the Bible, you know, the maid servants, the man servants, the people inside the gates, the people outside the gates, that's everyone. Let's say the whole community.
All right. That's
so if it's the whole community, the whole community is going to shut down. Is that correct?
Yes. When we go back home,
you know, that's
everything
impossible.
Everything that's going on
that's
in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, that will cease. Even if we have to ride horses and mules, that will cease.
But
the Almighty said he's going to overturn, overturn, and overturn everything that you see today. They're going to take all that. The Creator said they're going to take their weapons of war and make them into plowshares and plow hooves. In other words, they're going to go back the old way, the right way. All this pollution and everything we got and all these fancy cars burning up and polluting all the earth, all this stuff got to be overturned. And then with the Creator's kingdom, you're not going to have this foolishness today.
Well,
it's not going
to
be. But I got to go right now. I got some other people to go to. But
right.
I really appreciate talking to you. I wish I could talk longer, but I only got a few minutes. Only a couple
right.
of minutes and got two
I'll
brothers waiting. Thank you.
You're
all right. Brother Levi.
Shalom, brother. How's it going?
Shalom, shalom.
I just,
sorry I took so long to get to you, but I wanted to talk to some of my Muslim brothers and sisters before you got.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But I got to hear you also.
I appreciate that. I'll make it quick. That Acts 18 you brought out. Boy, that was nice. And I just wanted to bring out.
That I brought out the.
That 18, Acts 18 and 4 about
oh.
the Sabbath.
Oh, yes.
And, brothers, there was some beautiful scriptures on proof that the New Testament characters were keeping a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
They were keeping a Sabbath.
Yes.
I'm going to read that. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. I thought that was great. And I said to myself, and I had to call in, you kind of highlighted it, but, you know, people believe that Christ rose up, and that's why they keep the first day, Sunday, as their day of worship. Yet after his death, his disciples was keeping the Sabbath.
Yes.
And preaching.
Isn't that a contradiction on what they teach every day in the churches?
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that a contradiction? Mm-hmm. I appreciate you bringing that.
Yes, sir.
We only got one couple of minutes. And brother,
all right.
Brother Too Sweet, Brother Too Sweet, I'm sorry.
Hey, Alicia, I would have to agree with Sister Rashida. You're kind of dependent of those people who don't believe as you believe to kind of maintain all those different amenities that we have in order for you to be able to practice your Sabbath day.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I can't talk no further. I just wanted to say shalom, brother, and I'm going to talk to you next week. Thanks for calling. Right now, our time is coming out, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to get everybody, especially all my Muslim brothers and sisters, because I definitely wanted to comment on and let you speak what you wanted to say. But right now, our time is coming out. I had a beautiful conversation with you, and we're going to consider everything everybody said. We can weigh everything out, and next week we'll continue our discussions on the law of Yah. But right now, our time is coming out, running out. But I just want you to know that Yah loves you very much, and I do as well. And anybody want to contact me anytime at area code 513-226-7110. And I mean call me anytime. And furthermore, if anybody want to join us to service, call them 1664 California Avenue in Bond Hill. And until next week. And if you want to go on the internet, you can get us at the House of Israel, www.houseofisrael.org. That's House of Israel, YISRAEL. Till next week, Yah loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.